Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. It is the 12th of November, 2019. This is our 10:30 in the morning show, and I'm pleased to have my good friend Todd Mann here, who is the executive director of Magnet Schools of America. So obviously, we're going to be talking about Magnet Schools today. With him is Sarah Wheeler, who's the Magnet School Director. If I got this right, Sarah's going to correct me. The Magnet School Director, okay, the Grant Project Director for the School District 5 of Lexington and Richland Counties, which is really Columbia, South Carolina. She's going to explain all that to me, okay? But Sarah and Todd will be here. We're going to talk about something interesting. Magnet School Assistance Program grants. And I like magnet schools. They're important. And we do a lot of shows with them here to make sure that everybody understands how important they are. So let's talk about the grants, which we will, that help these school districts develop magnet schools. And I got two experts here. Give me a minute. I'll bring them both on. All right, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalk Radio, LinkedIn, EduTalk Larry, Facebook, EduTalk Radio, and you can follow us, friend us, link with us, whatever you want to do. Our new magazine, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, has a new issue coming out this week. It's an online journal. It'll be on site at ace-ed.org. Later in the week, you can go over there and subscribe. Subscription is free. We'll just get it into your inbox. We're not going to harass you or anything like that. Just make sure you get the magazine. Really got a hot issue coming out. The issue up there is terrific right now at ace-ed.org. Wait till you see the new one, our winter issue for 2019, ace-ed.org. Check it out and subscribe. And without further ado, let me bring on both Todd and Sarah. And there they are. Todd, it's Larry. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Larry. Thank you. It's great to be back. I love your show, and it's always an honor just to be able to talk with you about magnet schools on your show.
Well, it's my pleasure to bring the word out for you. And Sarah, I'm going to go over your title again, and you can break it down for me. Hi, Sarah. I'm Larry. It's good to meet you.
Hey, Larry. Nice. Thank you. Same here.
Where are you from? Break down my title? Listen to that accent. You must be from Northern Maine, I can tell.
I was going to say something. I don't think I have an accent, but that's okay.
You've been in Columbia, South Carolina too long, and I know my friend Todd will express that same feeling. You do have an accent, and it's beautiful.
Thank you very much. It's originally from Georgia.
There you go. Well, we won't mention the Bulldogs today. We'll just stay with the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, yeah, we can stick with the Georgia Dogs.
Boy, this is going to be a tough show. I can tell. This Sarah's tough with those Georgia Bulldogs. All right, Sarah, help me out here. You work for the school District 5 of Lexington and Richland Counties, which, if I'm reading this right, includes Columbia, South Carolina, right?
Correct. That is exactly right. And we're actually the only school district that does cross county lines. Unlike some of the larger urban districts, such as the Chicago School District or Wake County, North Carolina, or Miami-Dade, that encompasses the entire metro area, we actually have five or six or seven individual districts all within the Columbia area. So we take in most of Lexington County and some of Richland County.
And school district 5, do you call it school district 5? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, we do. That's exactly right. We call it district 5 or school district 5. And if you're in this area, you know what that means. It's sort of like PS 132, we're district 5.
Okay, good enough. Including good old Columbia, South Carolina. And then are you the magnet school director for the school district?
Yes, I am the magnet director for the entire district as well as the project director for the magnet assistance grant.
And is that when you say that, is that just for your area or are you doing it like nationally?
Well, it's just for my area, but I have also done this in a neighboring school district as well, and then moved from that district to my present district.
Got it. Okay. Excellent. So you're taking your expertise now. You're at School District 5, Columbia, South Carolina. Okay. Now we're
Correct.
Going to talk about
yes.
we're going to talk about these Magnet School Assistance Program grants. But as I mentioned in my introduction, Todd, I want to get back to you, Executive Director, Magnet Schools of America. Give people, because not everybody listens to every show, give people a rationale, what the definition of a magnet school, and you know, just give them the information so they can understand as we make it more pointedly with Sarah.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks. So magnet schools are all public schools. They fall under the same aegis as other public schools in a school district, meaning they report up to a school board, they have a superintendent, the same authorizing authority. And they have as their foundation racial diversity along with innovative curriculum. And many people are familiar with magnet schools because they have themes which many people know about, like STEM or performing arts or visual arts. And there, and so there are 4,300 of them throughout the country.
And so let me ask what to me is always an obvious question. What's the I understand the difference, but why are charter schools even popular? And I like charter schools. That's not why I'm asking. Why are charter schools even popular when you can kind of do the same thing with the magnet school, unless I've missed the boat completely? Todd.
Well, first of all, magnet schools were around a lot longer before charter schools came into play. And charter schools were you know, they had their own place in the educational system. But charter schools sometimes are they're financed privately, and they're run privately. So there may be instances where
that's a private school.
Well, yes, but public – all kids can attend. They don't have to pay to go there. They're just funded privately.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different orientation and a little bit different sense of how these schools are monitored and who's accountable. So typically charter schools are accountable to the charter group in a state, whereas magnet schools have the same accountability as do traditional schools within a school district. And that's primarily the difference. And
it
seems
to me it's just easier to start a magnet school. How easy is it to start a magnet school in the district? Well, what's the process?
Well, I'll let Sarah talk about that.
Okay.
But the one thing I'll say about charter schools is that if a school district, and you see this sometimes in rural areas, that a school or a state can't afford to build one, they may reach out to a charter management group and say, hey, would you please build it out of your own funds, that type of thing. So that's one of the areas that charters may come into play with. But I'll let Sarah talk about the process of creating a magnet school.
Yeah, Sarah, and again, I have nothing against charter schools. I really don't, okay? But it seems to me we have school districts, okay? And we are kind of with a magnet school can create the flexibility, unless I'm missing really off the boat here, we can create the flexibility of curriculum, but with, I think, a little more accountability, okay, if we create a magnet school. Yet the charters became incredibly popular, and I'm trying to figure out why when we have the magnet schools. That's where I am.
Well, I think with the charter schools, it was something that, like Todd said, magnet schools have been around for a long period of time. And it is part of a public school system. And I think the charter schools, as the landscape of choice became more popular and we were moving away from, quote, neighborhood schools into this choice landscape, charters found a niche because, again, it did offer more flexibility in terms of accountability. I actually was a reader one time for a magnet school. And it was very specific that they had to show how they were accountable to testing, to achievement. And there's just a lot of leeway. And I think some charters are extremely successful, and others have proven not to be, again, because of that accountability piece. Magnet schools as Todd has mentioned, they're accountable to the same system. They just offer some innovation, some theme-related curriculum, and they also, they really do emphasize a diverse population.
Right.
Right. And magnet schools actually were born out of the Civil Rights Act. And rather than bus students from one end of a district to another and assign them a school, they were creative by giving the community a choice that, oh my gosh, my kid loves the arts. I can go to the school across town and help make it a more diverse school, and my child's going to get to do what they love, so I'm choosing to go. I'm not being assigned to go. And that's sort of the history of the evolution of the magnet school concept.
Right. I like magnet schools. I think they're cool, and I like public school districts. And I know a lot of charters are public schools. Believe me, I know that. Okay, I've been doing this a long time. But, you know, it just there's always a question, and I'm pretty good at this stuff, but I'm sure in the public's mind, okay? And also the magnets seem to me to be, for a public school district, seemed a great way to, if I may use the word, compete with charters. Because they kind of offer that same flexibility.
Well, they do, but again, more accountable to state standards, and sometimes that option of charter is just, it could sometimes meet the needs of kids that may need some different attention. So, you know, in our particular state and in my particular district, we do have one state-funded charter about two-tenths of a mile from one of my magnet schools. And although it's a fine school, they really have not maintained their success, as the interest initially was very heightened, but I believe that families have realized resources actually in the public school system are greater, and they've chosen to come back.
And that maybe is my point, okay?
Yes.
That, you know, we can't abandon public school systems, okay? And
absolutely,
that their resources are there, and they're there for the whole community, and we must all support them. Okay, how many magnet schools are in, I guess, District 5?
Okay, well, we actually have about 22 schools in our district and about 17,000-plus students.
Wow.
And within that, we have 14 magnets.
Wow.
And they're located at 11 different sites, because a couple of our schools have more than one magnet. They have schools within a school or programs within a school. So that's the way our district looks. We are a mid-sized district. We are, you know, one of five, again, District 5, in that Columbia area. And, you know, we are a predominantly majority district, but as the demographics have shifted, that's why we have moved to magnet schools, to try to attract families to some of our schools that are losing some of their population.
What is predominantly majority? You use that phrase. I don't know what that phrase means. What does that
mean? Well, the Magnet Schools Assistance Program does support schools with diverse populations.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that schools within your district are shifting demographics and they don't reflect the entire district, and when I say majority, it means, the majority of our students, 57%, are Caucasian. And then 28% of our students are African-American. Of course, then we have Asian, Hispanic, and other. And so what you begin to see, and this is what makes districts prime candidates for magnet schools, is you begin to see some of your schools have a skewed representation of the district's demographics. So they target those schools. They put an innovative theme-based curriculum in that school and try to attract families from all across our district to balance our racial and socioeconomic diversity among all of our schools.
What a wonderful definition. That's just incredible. And how hard is that? We're going to get into the assistance grants in a second, but how hard is that to do? How do you get the word out to the community that the magnet school is starting, and this is what we're trying to create a balance here is basically what you're saying. We want to have great education with a great balance, all right?
Exactly. And that is that's the challenge, and we're in the midst of that right now because we're in our recruitment and application window. And, you know, I say this, and I say this, Larry, it's really funny. It's like, you know, I sort of say, you know, out of the side of my mouth, in District 5, where every choice is a great choice.
There
but
you go.
The reality is that it is. So how do we get families to leave their comfortable neighborhood school and take a chance and go 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes to another program? So that is our challenge. And in doing so, we don't want to build up one school, be magnet or not, at the expense of another school. So the balancing act is very, very tricky, and it's important. But you just have to really research your community. You need to send surveys. You find out what kind of theme the family might be interested in, whether it be the arts, whether it be the STEM or the STEAM or IB or Montessori, all of these kinds of choices. And to be honest, we chose Montessori to put in one of our magnet schools, knowing that because of the reputation of Montessori, we would have families willing to drive 30 minutes to the Montessori school and, you know, build it and they will come.
Yes.
If you put in something that – go ahead, yeah. What?
I was going to say, and if my wife and I lived down there, which I wish we did today because it's a sleet storm here in Maine, okay? But
yes.
if we lived down there when our kids were young, my wife would have been driving that 25 minutes. She
exactly.
loved Montessori. Yeah, it's that simple.
Yeah, and the irony of that is there is a private Montessori in the neighborhood we're trying to attract, but it's private, it's extremely expensive, and it's got a waiting list a mile long. So we are really meeting the needs of our community and giving
Absolutely.
Them a reason. Right. And we did the same thing with our high school where we have the IB, International Baccalaureate Diploma
program.
And
program.
We just added the career-related program that IB now has, which adds rigor and the IB content to high-level careers. So it's taking that technical level out of that old concept of vocational schools. So that's what you have to do. You have to research your community. You have to find what interests them. Then we have community events. We have magnet fairs. We have magnet information nights. And then we begin to try to build the interest. And once we get families coming to our schools, then we also rely on them to spread the word.
Right.
Hopefully we'll show high gains in achievement. And I think research shows all kids do better in life when they are with a diverse group of students.
Oh,
so,
without question. Without question.
Yes.
I mean,
it's
that simple. So now, okay, so it's easy. Let me just say this. So now it's we know that there's a need for a second for a public Montessori school. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be a magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, so we've got that. All right, now, but you're still a school district, and budgets are tight. All right?
Yes.
So now, let me swing over. How do you afford to do this? And is that what the Magnet School Assistance Program is for, to help the district create a magnet school?
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, my former school district, as well as the one I'm in now, they actually, for the same purpose, of what magnet schools are for, created district-funded programs. And, of course, that has to be within your budget, and there's ways to be innovative without the cost of what a Montessori might be or an IB education. But the flip side of that is if the districts are forward-thinking and innovative enough, they will carve out pieces in their budget for putting in these magnet schools.
Right.
But the Magnet Schools Assistance Program, and one of my former superintendents said, it took our idea that was analogous to a dirt road, and the Magnet School Assistance Program allowed us to make it a superhighway. Because they will come in and allow you to purchase to do professional training. Montessori is a perfect example. Teachers
have to be trained in the philosophy.
Right. Then you have to equip a classroom with Montessori, you know, equipment. It would pay for that. It pays for technology. It helps you pay for marketing. That it, the two things we could not use previously with this funding is brick and mortar, food, and transportation. Now they have lightened that a little bit in this last round of federal funding, and it's allowed districts to utilize some of the funds for transportation, but not to fund your entire bus system. Just innovative ways of using some of the money for bus routes that might include that 30-minute ride. So if a family really does want to come to this Montessori program, but the parents cannot provide transportation, we have provided bus routes for those families to be able to attend. We could not do that prior to this last round of grants. Go ahead.
So, I was going to say, so things are changing for the positive, okay? And I wanted to ask you this because I want to finish that sentence. This is all from the U.S. Department of Education, right? Not the South Carolina Department of Education. It's U.S.,
right?
Right,
the U.S., right.
Okay, so when you said they come in and they do this, the they is the U.S. Department of Education?
Exactly. This is what we are allowed to do. You have to fill out a very, very, very in-depth application.
I can only imagine.
This grant.
That
and
should be your new business. You'll just fill out the application for everybody, Sarah. That should be your new business.
Well, I tell people I'm not the grant writer, but I can implement anything. So I sit and have the vision. Someone wordsmiths it, and then I do it. But you do that first because you have to show, if you are to receive this funding, that you can sustain it. It's seed money. This is not renewable money. And there are some grants out there that can be renewed by a formula just based on, you know, the population of a school or a school district. This is seed money only, and it used to be for a 3-year period. It's now 5 years, which is another wonderful improvement because you can't affect change in 3 years. But beginning with 5, you can begin to see the fruits of your labor. But Yes.
I was just going to say, if I could jump in a second, Sarah. So, Larry.
I didn't mean to ignore you, Todd. I was going to get back to
you.
No,
that's
promise.
Okay. Sarah's
She's wonderful,
fine.
Though.
She's
she is.
Larry, he's used to it with me.
And I know him. It's all right. But Todd, please. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Mann, the executive director of the Magnet Schools of America. Go, Todd.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. So, there are... You know, many of the school districts that look for this kind of funding have people like Sarah who can coordinate if they decide that they want to send in an application. They coordinate all the information from throughout the district, make sure the grant gets written, and then hopefully they receive the funding and they have a positive problem of implementing. But to Sarah's point about it being seed money is one of the things that we at Magnet Schools of America, and as a reminder to your listeners, we're the association, the nonprofit that represents all the Magnet Schools in the country. So, you know, we get paid dues by the schools. So one of the things that's of interest to us is saying, okay, it's great that we have money to seed schools. That's important. But we'd also like to talk to the members of Congress and the U.S. Department of Education about grants that can help schools that need a booster shot, you know, to be sustained, because that's worthwhile also. And we all know what happens over time, that schools need to have their work refreshed. So that's on our agenda here in D.C., where we're located.
That's good. And I wanted to ask you something, Sarah or Todd, okay, whichever one of you wants to answer this, okay? Obviously, things are better with the Magnet School Assistance Program, okay? Have they gotten better just on – I'm curious about this politically. Has it gotten better under Obama or under Trump or under Secretary DeVos? You know, because you kept saying it's recent. How recent are these changes?
Well, the changes are recent within this last round, which was 2017. But they've been around with this funding source since 1984. And so it's been a pretty consistent amount of money.
Yeah, but they've relaxed like with the transportation. They've relaxed it a little bit. There's more options, it seems.
Exactly. And I think that just goes to the changing demographics even within our society, and the idea that and socioeconomic diversity becoming also an important topic in terms of balance within our schools. And the transportation piece is to say, you know, if we say it's true choice, is it if some families can't get their students there? So that's where I believe they've begun to see that is an opportunity just to create a more equitable access to
them.
Magnet schools.
Yes, Todd, you were trying to say something. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that the thing, some of the changes that Sarah talked about, they came into effect in 2017, but they were initiated during 2015 and 16. So that funding and thrust dates back. But I will say, you know, you can't just assume automatically that different presidents have different aims, because there was among Democrats, there was a very strong predisposition to charters. And I would say that the current administration, you know, they have their focus elsewhere, but it's not, they haven't been antagonistic at all to magnets. Very supportive of that. So it's nice to have your educational system kind of transcend politics. You hope in many cases.
We do hope. We do hope. And that's actually, you know, I wanted to give the Department of Education credit, you know, wherever and however this happened. And I think it's important to look at that and see. It's interesting. So, Todd, let me swing over to you. Now, you know, you have a wonderful Sarah Wheeler who really knows her stuff. Look at the work she's done, the creation of so many magnet schools in District 5 down there in Columbia. Okay? So we have 4,300 magnet schools. There's a little bit of relaxation on these magnet school assistance grants. Okay? And I always think, and it's just not working real well out there in Clark County schools in Las Vegas. They have their aggravation. They're a big urban district. How when a district like that can really benefit from this, what does MSA do? Are you guys working with some of these big districts to make sure they understand that this stuff is available to them, that they can do this?
Well,
or maybe they already understand
it.
I don't know.
Well, in some cases they do, and in some cases, you know, superintendents are, you know, don't always have the longest of tenure, so you always need to have a reminder.
That's changing.
You know?
And I will say the superintendents I've been talking to lately, most of them have been there and are continuing to be there. It has been a change over the last 5 years, thank God, okay, that they're staying longer.
It's great to have that consistency up at the top. And part of our work, and Sarah is our immediate past president of Magnet Schools of America, she well knows that.
Was she removed in a violent coup d'etat? Was that what happened?
I refer to it as a bloodless coup d'etat. But you know, it's part of our responsibility to make sure that superintendents, school boards, anybody at the district level has the information they need to know what the contribution of magnets in their school district can be. So that's always a part of our ongoing mission.
It should be. And Sarah, okay, you obviously your school board and your superintendent, et cetera, love this, okay? What's the overall view, and I know what the answer is, but I want to hear it articulated, of magnet schools? Does everybody love them, okay? What's the feedback?
Well, everybody loves them, and when you say the school district, I was 28 years in my former district, which is about 30 minutes on the other side of town where I happen to live. And my superintendent there, a former national MSA superintendent of the year, Dr. Steve Hefner, he embraced choice back in the 90s. And actually, we developed several magnets with district funds, no federal assistance. Then in 2004, we wrote for federal assistance. We won that, or we received that funding. And that was when we really took off. And there's about 30-something magnets in Richland 2, which is where I was, School District Richland 2. And my superintendent moved over here to District 5 and brought me with him. So his vision was choice, and we have grown from having four programs in 2013 here to our 14 programs.
Wow.
And, and the district has embraced it beautifully, as well as our surrounding area. The magnet schools are very popular in the Southeast.
They should be. They should be popular everywhere because I like that.
They are across the country.
They should be. So is there, Todd, when you look at it, from the catbird seat of the national overview, are they growing? Do we see real growth here? Because it seems to me this is a good way, and I'm going to use an odd term, for school districts, public school districts, to fight back against competition.
Yes.
This offers them, which is an odd way to say it, and obviously there's no fighting per se. Okay, but there is a competition out there for dollars, et cetera. And the magnet schools offer the flexibility. And, Todd, what's the word, nationally?
Yes. Well, they are growing. And a great example I can use is in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where the decisions were made to add magnet schools rather than adding other school types. So we're starting to see this growth. The magnets are in 46 states plus the District of Columbia. So most states have a chance to see the success. And we're very, very optimistic that if we can continue to communicate that value, we will see continued growth.
Yeah, they should be continued because, as I say, it just makes sense. You know, there's 12,000 school districts out there, and not everybody can do this. And I'm curious, what is the cost, Sarah? Okay, when you come up with the Montessori idea, and I know the Magnet School Assistance Program, et cetera, okay, but there's a lot, you have to do a lot of professional development. You have to find the teachers who want to go over there. You have to create an environment, so to speak. Okay, like you said, you need all new types of furniture, okay, for a Montessori education. I mean, it's a whole different world, all right? And they're going to wind up as the same, but it's a whole different world in the way we teach it. Okay, what's it take to really – what's the commitment of the school district? I mean, is it a law? Can you, decide in September we want the Montessori school for next year and have it running next year?
Well, yeah, we almost had to do that because when you do write these grants, you don't know that you're funded until the very end of September of the next October 1 that you're going to begin. But for the most part, you've got your plan in place. And you already know what you will do. But then, it's just hitting that ground running. And, yes, we are up and running by the next year, by the spring of that very first year, you're already marketing. You're having your fairs. You're having your information nights. You're ordering your furniture. You're getting your people trained. So, the first couple of years are really intense, because you need to get everything in place, renovate classrooms that might need it based, if it's the arts. We've created ballet rooms. We have black box theater rooms. We have music centers. So there's a lot of planning, a lot of ordering. And when you talk about the district, most districts, especially in mine, every key department is part of the Magnet Advisory Committee, because you can't do this with HR not knowing how many people you need to hire.
That's right.
Or technology not knowing what the infrastructure needs to be. And of course, the Office of Instruction, because that's what it's all about. So it's a lot of hard work, but it's a labor of love. And just a quick plug for MSA. I was not aware of MSA until 2004 when we did receive the funding. And as you can tell, I'm very shy. And I immediately started attending.
She's subtle about that.
I can tell.
Yes.
You know, she's losing her accent. Her southern accent is disappearing as she's talking to the man from Maine here. I can feel it.
My father was from Brooklyn, so the roots are coming out. Yeah. But I attended my first conference, and I found my niche, because it is the only organization that supports thematic education with the underlying purpose of creating diverse environments and equitable opportunities for all kids. So I immediately found a network. I immediately got involved.
Wow,
as Todd said, I was, you know, the immediate past president. And it's wonderful because at our conferences, we visit schools across the country. We have sessions on Montessori,
yeah,
the arts, STEM, professional development. And MSA has taken on a role of adding professional development to districts for leadership and things such as that. So, you know, it's a labor of love. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it because it's all student-centered.
And well said. I couldn't say it better myself. Okay. By the way, it's Magnets EDU, right, Todd? What is it?
Magnet.edu, singular.
Magnets.edu. And MSA, Schools of America, right?
Yes. It's singular Magnet. Magnet.edu.
You know, that's what I thought. Magnet.edu.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, and
right,
people should check this out. And which brings me to the next question. We only have a few minutes left, and I know it's tough. Todd, let me ask you, okay, we can say all this about training for the teachers. What about training? You just kind of touched on it a second ago. Training for principals, okay? The principal is a whole different role. Not a whole different role, but it's a different thing. Okay, Todd, what about principal training or finding the principal? How do you do this?
Well, I've been to Sarah a little bit because she's actively involved in that all the time. But are you referring just to for magnet schools or in general?
Let's just go to the Montessori magnet school. Okay. Sarah knows to find a principal for that school.
Yes.
Okay. That principal has to not only understand your district, they have to understand Montessori. Where do you find that principal? Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm
actually, curious. From what we already have, when we create these magnet schools, the school itself and the leadership are part of the vision, part of writing, part of the commitment. So the principal is learning along with everyone else, regardless of what the theme is. But when we talk about leadership, Magnet Schools of America offers professional development with our leadership component to Magnet Schools of America. And I remember in 2004, for instance, I pulled some of the resources and some of the consultants from Magnet Schools of America to come to my district to meet with all of our principals to lead them and guide them and instruct them in what's different about being a magnet school principal versus just being a principal of a traditional school, the purpose of it, what it entails. So it's that kind of ongoing professional development because it's from the very top down. And as you know, if the top doesn't buy into it, it won't be successful.
You got that right. And let me make a point. I mentioned Clark County, that they should really be getting involved in this, to me, because they've got their troubles, okay, and they got to make it work. And by total – I didn't even know this. Your conference next year is in Vegas, Clark County.
Absolutely.
April 15th to the 17th, so they can show off the good work they're doing. It's interesting. I said that. I didn't even know it, okay, when I said it. But this is something – because if they can make it work, they really need this. Okay, I mean that sincerely. They need this. Okay, and you know, so I'm sure they're going to be showing off plenty, right, Todd?
Yeah, they have about 30 schools that they're going to be showing off, and you know, they have a very strong orientation also in career academies, which are part and parcel of magnet programs. So we're going to see probably we'll have 30 schools as options for, you know, our tours are always such a key part of why our
attendees love this
conference.
You'll have exhibitors there and all that stuff, right, Todd?
We do. We have exhibitors. We will have about 70 to 80 concurrent sessions, good keynoters. So this is the place where anybody who's involved with magnets comes to learn and to
network. Or wants to get
network.
Involved with magnets. Wants to get involved with it. It's magnet.edu under events. Okay, I may even pop out there. I may talk myself into playing out there.
You,
okay.
you need to join us.
We'd love to have you. Live,
absolutely.
From Clark County. Okay.
Thank you. I would like that.
Yeah.
It would be great. Okay, let's see what we can do about that, all right? This is terrific. Guys, we got to go. I can't thank you enough. Sarah, it's a pleasure to know you.
Thank you. You too, Larry. I've enjoyed this immensely.
I have enjoyed it as well. And maybe we can get you guys to write an article for us about the equity aspect particularly in Columbia, South Carolina, since that's where you are, of the magnet schools for our magazine, which is Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. What do you think?
It sounds like a plan. Todd and I can put our heads together because we do a lot of diversity and equity work. We have great consultants, and we could sort of let you know what we're doing.
Well, I'm going to send you an email in a few minutes, and we'll get that together. I promise.
Okay.
Thanks, Larry. It's great
Sarah, I don't have your email. I'm going to send it to Todd, and he's going to forward it to you.
Okay. That sounds great. Okay.
Good enough. You guys can write it together. Thank you both. You got to have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good enough. Okay, and I like the idea of a large urban district that struggles all the time, like Clark County doing the magnets. I think that's important. All right, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org, tweet it at EduTalkRadio. Check out our magazine. Go over to ace-ed.org. Subscribe to the magazine. Our new issue will be out. We'll send it right to your inbox. We're not going to harass you. Beyond that, you'll love the magazine. Not a special ed magazine. For every school, every student, every day. Accessibility, compliance, and equity. ACE at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Sarah.